Welcome back to AI Daily. Today we're diving into the wild world of AI and home security with a thought-provoking piece titled, "This Major Blunder Shows Why You Can't Trust ChatGPT with Home Security Questions." Our guest writer makes a compelling case against relying on AI chatbots for security advice, and it's definitely something to consider. So let's unpack this, shall we?
Absolutely. The crux of the issue is that while AI excels at tasks like object recognition and automation, it falters when it comes to providing reliable security advice. The article highlights a few key reasons for this, and it boils down to the limitations of large language models, or LLMs.
Right, and one of the biggest pitfalls is the issue of AI hallucinations. The article cites a Reddit story where a chatbot claimed a Tesla could access home security systems. This highlights how AI, trained on vast datasets, can misinterpret information and spit out completely inaccurate claims, especially in a field like home security, where technology evolves rapidly. This can be incredibly dangerous.
Exactly. And it's not just about outright inaccuracies. The article also points out how these chatbots struggle to process real-time information, which is crucial during emergencies. Imagine relying on a chatbot for advice during a hurricane when it can't even access up-to-the-minute weather data. That's a recipe for disaster.
It seems like the article is advocating for a more nuanced approach to AI in home security. Yes, it can be beneficial for automation and convenience, but relying on it for critical advice, especially when safety is on the line, is a step too far, at least for now.
Precisely. It's about using AI strategically, leveraging its strengths while being acutely aware of its limitations. The human element, with its critical thinking and ability to process dynamic information, remains indispensable in the realm of home security.
So, this official definition of open source AI, it's causing quite a stir. What are your thoughts on the open source initiative's attempt to wrangle this complex issue?
It's about time, honestly. The term open source was being thrown around so loosely in the AI world, it had almost lost all meaning. The OSI's definition, while not perfect, provides some much-needed clarity.
Clarity, yes, but also controversy. Meta, unsurprisingly, is pushing back, despite being involved in the drafting process. It seems like their business model relies on this ambiguity around open source.
Absolutely. Meta's argument about guardrails and evolving regulations rings hollow when you consider how much they benefit from keeping their training data secret. It's a classic case of wanting to have their cake and eat it too.
The article mentions lawsuits against Meta and Stability AI regarding the use of copyrighted material in training data. This OSAID definition could add fuel to that fire, couldn't it?
Definitely. If courts start using the OSAID as a benchmark, it could have major legal ramifications for companies that have built their empires on opaque data practices.
It'll be interesting to see how this plays out. It seems the battle for the soul of open source AI is just beginning. So, shifting gears from the ethics of open source, this article dives into the practical side of things, how we can actually use these powerful AI tools effectively.
Yes, and I appreciate the article's emphasis on fusion skills. It's not about humans versus machines, it's about humans and machines working together.
Right. They break it down into three key skills: intelligent interrogation, judgment integration, and reciprocal apprenticing. I admit, I had to reread those a few times.
It's a mouthful. But essentially, it's about learning to communicate with AI effectively, ensuring its output is ethical and accurate, and continuously training both the AI and ourselves to tackle increasingly complex tasks.
That reciprocal apprenticing idea is fascinating. It suggests a future where we're constantly learning from AI as we're teaching it.
Exactly. Imagine the possibilities if we can harness that feedback loop effectively. It could lead to a truly symbiotic relationship between humans and AI.
All right. Shifting gears from the philosophical to the, well, downright bizarre. Researchers are using AI to decode pig sounds to assess their emotions. What are your thoughts on this?
It's fascinating, isn't it? It speaks to the potential of AI to deepen our understanding of the natural world, even in ways we might not have imagined. If we can accurately gauge animal emotions, it could revolutionize animal welfare practices.
Absolutely. But it also raises ethical questions. If we can understand their emotions, how does that change our responsibility towards them? And what about the potential for misuse of this technology?
Those are crucial points. It's vital to have these ethical discussions alongside technological advancements. And speaking of ethical concerns, the lawsuit against Tesla regarding the use of AI-generated imagery in their Cybercab presentation is quite telling.
Indeed, the Blade Runner 2049 case highlights the complexities of copyright law in the age of AI. It's essentially asking, who owns the creative rights to AI-generated content? And Musk's flippant response to the lawsuit certainly adds another layer to this debate.
It does raise the question of whether he's taking these legal challenges seriously enough. This case could set a precedent for future disputes over AI-generated content, and the outcome will have far-reaching implications.
So, this article about AI hallucinations and creativity really got me thinking. It suggests that there might be a trade-off between mitigating AI hallucinations and fostering AI creativity. What are your thoughts on this, especially considering the potential legal ramifications we were just discussing?
It's a complex issue. On one hand, we want AI systems that can generate novel and innovative ideas. But on the other hand, we need to be able to trust the information they provide. If we're constantly questioning whether an AI's output is based on reality or hallucination, it undermines its usefulness. This is particularly concerning in fields like law, where accuracy and reliability are paramount.
Exactly. And the article mentions this temperature setting that can influence the balance between determinism and randomness in AI output. Do you think giving users control over such settings is a viable solution?
It's a start, but it also places a lot of responsibility on the user. How many people truly understand the implications of adjusting these parameters? There's a risk of people inadvertently dialing up the hallucinations in pursuit of more creative output without fully grasping the potential consequences.
That's a valid concern. It seems like we're still in the early stages of understanding the relationship between AI hallucinations and creativity. It's like we've opened Pandora's box, and we're still figuring out how to manage what's inside.
Precisely. And as AI systems become more sophisticated, this issue is only going to become more pressing. We need to invest in research that not only advances AI capabilities, but also addresses these fundamental questions about the nature of creativity, hallucination, and the ethical implications of AI's role in our society.
So, this article about ChatGPT coming to Windows really got me thinking about the broader landscape of AI assistance. It seems like we're at a crossroads, with specialized tools like Microsoft Copilot deeply integrated into existing ecosystems, and then more versatile tools like ChatGPT that can be molded to fit a wider range of tasks.
Absolutely. It's a classic trade-off between specialization and generalization. Copilot, by being deeply embedded in Microsoft's ecosystem, can tap into a wealth of contextual data, making it incredibly powerful for specific tasks. But that comes at the cost of flexibility. ChatGPT, on the other hand, is like a Swiss Army knife. You can use it for coding, creative writing, research, you name it. But it might not be as seamless or efficient for tasks that are deeply embedded within a specific software environment.
It's like comparing a bespoke suit to a good pair of jeans. The suit is perfect for a specific occasion, while the jeans can be dressed up or down depending on the context. Do you think this distinction will ultimately lead to a sort of AI specialization, where different tools dominate different niches?
It's certainly possible. We're already seeing the emergence of AI-powered tools designed for specific industries, like healthcare or finance. But I think there will always be a demand for versatile tools like ChatGPT that can bridge the gaps and offer a more general-purpose solution. It's all about finding the right tool for the job, and sometimes that job requires flexibility above all else.
This AI Daily article about high-paying AI certifications is fascinating. It really highlights the dichotomy of AI's impact on the job market. On one hand, it's automating tasks and leading to layoffs, which is concerning. But on the other hand, it's creating this huge demand for professionals who understand and can work with AI, leading to impressive salaries.
It's a classic case of disruption creating both challenges and opportunities. The key takeaway here is adaptation. Those who embrace AI and develop relevant skills will thrive in this evolving job market. The article mentions a 47% potential salary increase for professionals with generative AI skills. That's a significant jump, far exceeding typical raises from promotions.
Exactly. It underscores the premium employers are placing on AI expertise. And it's not just about technical roles. The article highlights how AI is permeating various functions, from project management to sales and marketing. This means professionals across the board need to understand how to leverage AI in their respective domains.
Absolutely. Incorporating AI into your workflow isn't just about using the latest tools. It's about understanding how to leverage those tools to optimize processes, improve efficiency, and ultimately deliver better results. That's where the real value lies, and that's what employers are willing to pay a premium for.
This next story is a bit concerning. It seems big tech, facing antitrust scrutiny, is cozying up to the Biden-Harris campaign through a series of high-dollar fundraisers hosted by their own lawyers.
It's a blatant attempt to influence policy and potentially soften the blow of these antitrust cases. The fact that these fundraisers involve lawyers actively defending these companies against the government raises serious ethical questions. It creates a perception of a conflict of interest, even if there isn't a direct quid pro quo.
Exactly. And the timing is suspect. We're talking about historic antitrust cases against Google, Apple, Amazon, and Facebook, with potential remedies like forced sell-offs or major operational changes. These companies are clearly feeling the heat and are pulling out all the stops to protect their interests.
It's a classic case of regulatory capture, where the industries being regulated exert undue influence over the regulators themselves. The revolving door between big tech and government agencies only exacerbates this problem. We need stronger ethical guidelines and potentially even campaign finance reform to address this issue.
It's crucial for voters to be aware of these connections and the potential influence behind the scenes. Transparency is paramount in a democracy, and this story raises serious questions about whether our system is truly serving the public interest or the interests of powerful corporations. So, we've got another AI startup raking in the big bucks. Raid AI just scored a $50 million Series B, hot on the heels of their Series A, just 6 months ago. They're building an AI co-pilot that integrates with everything from Slack and email to project management tools.
It's a crowded space, but their strategy seems to be integration, integration, integration. They want to be omnipresent, pulling data from all these different platforms to provide context and insights. The Chrome extension they're offering for free is a smart move to gain traction.
It's like having a superpowered assistant who's read every email, listened to every meeting, and can pull up relevant information instantly. But the question is, can they overcome the just another meeting notes app perception?
That's the challenge. Meeting transcription is becoming commoditized. Reed AI is betting on their ability to synthesize data across different platforms and deliver actionable insights. If they can pull it off, they have a real shot at becoming indispensable to knowledge workers.
So, it seems ChatGPT is determined to insert itself into every aspect of our lives, even our spooky celebrations. Have you seen these articles about using ChatGPT for Halloween planning?
Yeah, it's interesting how they're positioning ChatGPT as this all-in-one solution for everything from costume design to recipe generation. It's like having a virtual party planner on demand.
It's a clever marketing move, tapping into the seasonal hype. But beyond the novelty, I wonder about the actual usefulness. Is anyone really going to ditch Pinterest and rely solely on ChatGPT for their Halloween decor?
There's a certain appeal to the convenience factor, especially for those who find the whole planning process overwhelming. But I think it's more likely to be a supplementary tool, offering suggestions and sparking creativity rather than replacing human input entirely.
I can see it being helpful for brainstorming costume ideas, especially with its ability to analyze images and suggest options based on your appearance. But I'd still want to put my own spin on it, add some personal flair.
Absolutely. It's about finding the balance between AI assistance and personal creativity. Ultimately, it's our own unique touches that make these celebrations meaningful.
So AI is stepping into the therapy room. Is this a breakthrough for mental health access, or are we venturing into ethically murky territory?
It's a double-edged scalpel, that's for sure. On one hand, the potential to bridge the accessibility gap in mental health care is enormous. Think about underserved communities, remote areas, people with social anxiety. AI could be a lifeline for them.
And yet, the idea of an algorithm dissecting your deepest fears and vulnerabilities is unsettling, to say the least.
Exactly. The privacy concerns are huge, and let's not forget the potential for bias. If these AI models are trained on data that doesn't represent the diversity of human experience, we're just replicating existing inequalities.
And can AI ever truly replicate the empathy and nuanced understanding of a human therapist? We're talking about the very core of what it means to connect with another human being.
That's the million-dollar question. Right now, AI seems more suited as a stopgap, offering support between sessions or during long wait times. But the human element, that irreplaceable therapeutic alliance, will always be crucial. So we're talking AI platforms, specifically Palantir and Alphabet. Both are riding the AI wave, but Wall Street seems to have a clear favorite.
Right, and it's interesting because both companies are seeing success, but their stock valuations tell very different stories. Palantir, despite its impressive growth and recognition in AI and ML platforms, is considered wildly overvalued.
It's that classic growth versus value dilemma. Palantir's potential is undeniable, but at 140 times adjusted earnings, the market seems to be pricing imperfection. Any hiccup in their growth trajectory could trigger a sharp correction.
Whereas Alphabet, with its diversified portfolio and established market dominance, offers a more stable, albeit less explosive, investment opportunity. Their foray into generative AI, with Gemini, seems to be paying off, particularly in advertising and cloud computing.
And let's not forget Waymo. If autonomous vehicles take off, that could be a game changer for Alphabet. But the antitrust lawsuit against them does add a layer of uncertainty.
Absolutely. It's a reminder that even giants aren't invincible. So, for investors, it seems like a classic tale of risk versus reward. The potential upside of Palantir is enticing, but the downside risk is considerable. Alphabet, on the other hand, offers a more measured, but potentially less lucrative path. Thanks for joining us today. We'll be back next week with another deep dive into the world of AI.